the RTV News with Winston Lebga. The main points. Plans for the effective garbage removal operation in Yaoundé have been discussed at an emergency meeting in Cameroon's capital city. Disaster-prone areas continue to make victims in the country of those who build in such places. The news will focus on the matter. A man arrested on allegations of spying in the Central African Republic has gone on hunger strike. The development of these stories and others next. Hello there, we begin with this news release from the Prime Minister's office. Cameroon's Prime Minister and Head of Government, Chief Dr. Joseph John Goute, will, on behalf of the President of the Republic, His Excellency Paul Biya, preside over the inauguration ceremony of Simpor Cameroon SA Cement Plant, scheduled to take place at Kribi on Friday, the 19th of July, 2024, as from 10 o'clock in the morning. The news release is signed by the Director of Cabinet, Balungeli Confiance, Ebune. Reports from Kribi say Prime Minister Joseph John Goute has arrived in the seaside resort and was received upon arrival by the governor of the South Region during an official ceremony organized at the entrance to Kribi. Our star building correspondent, Christian Chiatam, cables in.
The official welcome ceremony in honor of the Prime Minister Head of Government, Joseph John Goute, at the entrance to Kribi was attended by administrative officials, the elite, ordinary inhabitants of Kribi, and also supporters of the CPDM. The governor of the South Region, Felix Ngelengele, led the host of officials who received the Prime Minister when he stepped down from his vehicle. The official welcome then shifted to the inspection of the guard of honor. The representative of the President of the Republic walked past a cross-section of military and security units operating in Kribi. This was followed by handshakes with members of the constituted corps of the region. It was amidst jubilant singing and dancing by supporters of the CPDM that the Prime Minister proceeded to his lodging facility in readiness for Friday's event. The PM's journey to Kribi was marked by four different stops, during which jubilant supporters of the CPDM expressed their joy over his coming. The different stops were in Idea, Elok Batindi, Fifinda, and in Ebuye. Joseph John Goute is in Kribi to represent President Paul Biya at the inauguration of a new cement factory. The Simpor Cement Plant, which is currently operating in the industrial and port area of Kribi, is the sixth cement factory in Cameroon and has a production capacity of 1 metric ton per year. With the arrival of the Simpor Cement Factory in the landscape, the annual production of cement in Cameroon is expected to reach 8 metric tons, a quantity which has been judged enough to meet the country's demand. Kribi, Christian Chiatam, CRTV.
An emergency meeting has taken place in Yaoundé with the aim of working out a garbage removal plan known as Operation Tight Fist for Cameroon's capital city, where mountainous heaps of dirt are found in many parts. The meeting was between the Minister in charge of Urban Development, Celestine Ketcha-Cortez, mayors of Fundi Division and other stakeholders involved with hygiene and sanitation. Marie-Claire Doe.
The emergency meeting that brought together mayors of the seven councils in Fundi Division, representative of the Hygiene and Sanitation Company, Izaka, and other partner ministries stems from an observation that the streets of Yaoundé, particularly the entrance to market, churches and schools, are flooded with heaps of household waste and other debris of old cars. The Minister of Housing and Urban Development, Celestine Ketcha-Cortez, while chairing the meeting, decried the horrible state in which the city of Yaoundé is. The situation is preoccupying, especially at a time when the country is looking forward to celebrating World Habitat Day with a clean city competition in view. During the close to two-hour meeting, Minister Celestine Ketcha-Cortez and attendees blamed the situation on lack of funds and also the fact that companies in charge of hygiene and sanitation for the past 7 months have been absent. Municipal authorities were further challenged to put hands on deck and get youth on holiday to join in the fight to make Yaoundé a better place to live in, free and safe from death-related illnesses. Marie Claire Doe, CLTV News Center.
A project to provide financial assistance to young people in the 18 to 35 age range has been launched in Yaoundé today. It targets young people who work in urban areas and who run small ventures due to lack of other opportunities and skills. The World Bank will finance 65,000 of them, and the government of Cameroon will be in charge of 20,000 of the young people. Apart from money, they shall receive training in life and basic management skills, and there is a total of 5 programs that make up the scheme. The project was set up by the government of Cameroon with the support of the World Bank. It is known as the Adaptive Safety Nets and Economic Inclusion Project and run by the Ministry of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development. Senior officials in some ministries in the country have been edified on the new European Union deforestation regulation, which seeks to ensure that cocoa and other products imported into the European Union market are deforestation-free. This was during a meeting chaired by the Minister of Trade, Luc Maglombarga-Tangana, in the presence of top government officials, members of the EU and officials of the Cocoa and Coffee Interprofessional Council. We have details with Kelly Eben.
Cameroon exports 78% of cocoa and 68% of coffee on the international market. And according to Trade Minister Luc Maglombarga-Tangana, the new European Union regulation on deforestation-free products such as cocoa, palm oil, coffee, timber, rubber, cattle, soya, and derived products is a strong turning point in the fight against deforestation. The new regulation, to go operational on December the 30th this year, concerns countries partnering with the EU and outlines key provisions and obligations imposed on private companies in particular, and Cameroon's critical role as one of the world's largest cocoa producers. Jean-Marc Chatanier is European Union ambassador to Cameroon.
We have to work together to see how we can implement it in favor of producers to better export their products.
During the deliberations, concerns about the adverse effects of climate change, access to land for producers, and child labor were raised by the ministers of labor and social security, land and tenure, and of environment, which if addressed can scale up Cameroon's productivity and boost economic growth. The board chair of the Cocoa and Coffee Interprofessional Council, Apolline Ngwe, on the occasion presented the roadmap of Cameroon's conformity to the exigencies of the EU deforestation regulation.
Members of the 19th batch of trainees from the Yaoundé International War College have visited the CLTV Production Center in Balatou and the Radio Broadcasting House in Lonkak to have insights on the different approaches to handling information during times of crisis, as well as to explore the various departments of the corporation. The 70 trainees, led by the Deputy Commander of the Yaoundé International War College, Colonel Guy Robert Kwang, were received by the technical advisor number 2 in charge of equipment at CRTV, Amadou Joji, who represented the director general. We have details with Rita Yusimbom.
The visit was truly a global affair. 70 trainees hailing from 25 countries, including 24 from the African Union and 1 from the European Union. They were warmly welcomed by the technical advisor number 2 in charge of equipment, Amadou Joji, representing the director general of the CRTV. The trainees had the opportunity to explore Studio 4 and the TV newsroom, engaging in insightful conversations with editors and reporters hard at work. Following their visit to the TV production facilities, the group then made their way to the CRTV Radio Broadcasting House, where they were greeted by the Central Director for Radio, Madeleine Sopikoto, and her close collaborators. The director emphasized the significance of this collaboration between the Yaoundé International War College and the CRTV, showcasing the various channels available, including regional stations, proximity channels, web radio, and more.
A very, very rich visit. As far as the content is concerned, I can say it was beneficial for both CRTV and ESIC, for the director general it was good to show them we have many students of ASIC coming from Africa, coming from Europe. So it was good for them to see how we manage some a sort of information that can be critical. And we did it. We was very happy to see them here and to tell them what is our mission, what we can do, you know, to make our people always informed on what is happening, even when it's a crisis.
One of the highlights of the visit was the presentation of the editor-in-chief in charge of the evening shift at the TV news department, Ime Robert Bihina. He spoke about the different approaches to handling information during times of crisis. Ime Robert Bihina equally provided examples of how reports were crafted during the peak of the Boko Haram atrocities, highlighting the meticulous process of disqualifying misinformation. The visit continued with a guided tour of the International Broadcast Center, offering the trainees a glimpse into the technological infrastructure that powers CRTV's broadcasting operations.
On to our news in-depth reports and focus. Cameroon's economic capital, Douala, is suffering from a series of landslides, collapse of buildings, and many more disasters linked to the rainy season. This is because many of the residents choose to build their houses in risky zones. The big question is, what can be done to prevent the inhabitants from constructing their houses or residing in such high-risk areas? Scholar Maloke.
Many in the economic capital, like elsewhere, continue to build houses in risky zones because it is usually cheap to purchase land in such areas. These, however, come with a lot of devastating effects, like the landslide in Lokbesu on Wednesday, July 17, which left three people dead. Architects like Maurice Abakma hold that if such areas are demarcated by council authorities, it will prevent people from settling there.
The council to demarcate the zone and make sure a routine check is carried out for people not to encroach and construct and settle within these zones.
Meanwhile, officials of the Douala City Council maintain that they are doing just that. Joseph Olinga is in charge of environmental research at the Douala City Council.
Some of the key initiatives are zoning regulation. You know, the city council have a city master plan designed to prohibit new residential construction in high-risk zones such as floodplains and landslides. This regulation aims to prevent future development in the most vulnerable part of the city.
He adds that control missions are always on the field to fish out people constructing in such areas.
We have the municipal police, which the overall goal is to ensure construction projects strictly adhere to urban planning regulation and building codes, prioritizing public safety and environmental protection. So the municipal police play a crucial role in monitoring the construction and holding developers accountable.
According to the regional delegate for housing and urban development for the littoral, Anatole Menge, they are also assisting councils to respect the laws regulating the deliverance of urbanization documents. Scholar Maloke, CLTV News, Douala.
Climate observers have recently been giving warnings about imminent heavy rains with the risk of floods and landslides in several parts of the country. Amongst the several risk zones across Cameroon is Nguache, a neighborhood in Bafoussam, where about 5 years ago a landslide left 43 people dead and many others injured. Let's take a walk down memory lane and examine the current situation with Nook Protus.
When 43 persons died in a landslide incident in the Nguache 4 neighborhood, Bafoussam 3, in 2029, it was thought that a lesson had been learned the hard way when it comes to living in risk zones. But apparently, no. At that time, public authorities had resettled the surviving population elsewhere. 5 years later, the settler population is once again on the rise in this neighborhood that originally was all covered by raffia trees. Now it is the rainy season again. The risk of floods and landslides are acute, made even more scary by the blocking of natural waterways and drainage systems by plastics and domestic waste in Ngwashe 2, Kamkop, and other bordering neighborhoods, several houses have been marked as unsafe for habitation, but they are still there with their inhabitants. Local public authorities seem to have resigned to the formality of awareness raising, while these neighborhoods wait almost in submission for the next disaster. Nuk Protus, CRTV, Bafusam.
From Bafusam, in the west, we go over to the southwest, where the authorities say it will take determination and concerted efforts to put an end to the construction of houses on disaster-prone areas. The southwest officials have always drummed home this point each time there is a disaster in major cities there, like Kumba and Limbe. To understand how they have been dealing with the issue, here is the report with Annabel Ndike, Eno Anyang.
At the foot of Mount Fako in Boya, houses are being spotted around prone areas of the mountain plain, a situation which can pose serious threat to human lives and assets in case of any natural disaster. Emil Moise Endenekoto is a town planning engineer.
We have natural risk, the waterway, landslide, when we have to build closer to high tension. And all those risks, be it technologic or natural, they exist in the town of Buya. The area affected by the risk, we can have it along the prone area of the Mount Cameroon. We have the risk related to the flooding.
The life-threatening situation can be linked to a number of interrelated factors.
The town of Buya, as many others, have come to witness a huge migration of population coming from the rural areas. And those people, they need to live somewhere. That's why today we are facing with uncontrolled situation of population who are building in the risk area.
Meantime, several controls have been mounted by stakeholders in order to restrain construction within such areas.
You have the council in carrying out the necessary sensitization to make sure that the planning document existing, validated by the state, are implemented, as well as the population, those who are building, they are also part of the solution, because everybody should understand that it's risking to build in those areas.
With utmost importance attached to stop further construction on risk zones, the expectation is that the population will adhere to government measures. Annabel Ndike, Enwanyang, CRTV, Buya.
The rainy season in Cameroon comes with natural catastrophes such as landslides, which negatively affect the environment and various socioeconomic sectors. In the following analysis, Samling Gonsay's moves to prevent the catastrophes and the consequent damages include providing timely and accurate climate information to decision makers as well as to people living around disaster-prone zones.
At the foot of Mount Fako in Boya, houses are being spotted around prone areas of the mountain plain, a situation which can pose serious threat to human lives and assets in case of any...
Houses can be derived from...
Nekoto is a town plan...
for acute problems in Cameroon, as the country is characterized by steep slopes, intense precipitation, deep soil profiles, and populations highly vulnerable to geohazards. Conscious of this landscape and of the varying patterns of rainfall across the country, it is expected from local authorities to be stricter concerning town planning and the issuance of building permits. Unfortunately, every year landslides cause fatalities, structural and functional damages to infrastructure, as well as serious disruptions on various socioeconomic sectors affecting the livelihoods of local populations. Many still have the sad souvenir of October 2019, when at least 42 people died after their houses were swept away in a landslide caused by torrential rains in Bafusam, and the death of over 30 people at Mbankolo in Yaoundé in September last year. The Lokbeso incident in Douala, which claimed the life of three persons this Wednesday, stresses the urgent need to sensitize and even sanction those who infringe the law by building in risk-prone areas, an objective which can only be achieved through accurate hazard estimates that account for the spatial distribution of future landslides, their temporal frequency and the hazard intensity, but also quantitative assessments of their socioeconomic impact, as well as the evaluation of current social and cultural structures affecting the vulnerability and resilience to these catastrophes.
Environmental affairs experts point to the incident that killed three people in Douala as a result of the intensification of the rainy season. And as that phenomenon continues in various parts of the country, this will lead to an increase in the occurrence of disasters. One of them is a senior staff of the National Observatory on Climate Change, Oben Enangabate, who in a conversation with Sam Lingam begins by indicating that the causes of the Lokbesu incident are from two perspectives.
The causes can be derived from two perspectives, among others. First, we will blame the human factor, think that man has a part to play, but since we are within the context of climate change and the increase in climatic risk, and all those negative events that are occurring within our environment. The incident that occurred, first of all, was because the antecedent weather condition was not conducive. We have registered high rainfall within the past days. And unfortunately, that day, though it did not rain, but the soil was, first of all, moist and saturated. If we are to talk about the human factor, we will say that when you look at the steepness of the excavated land, it is really uncalled for that people should be carrying out such activities within this period of the time that we are in the heart of the rainy season. The littoral region has been recording very high rainfall within the past 10 days.
What are the tendencies of the next days in the five agroecological zones? Will there be too much rain?
There will be an increase in rainfall above historical averages. So we are forecasting that the quantities of rains that we are going to receive for the next 3 months will be high. And when we come down to the next 10 days, the current decadal bulletin that runs from the 11th to the 20th of the month of July, precisions have been made on localities that are on the alert or the red zone. Douala, for example, is one of them. High risk of landslides. So all areas that are within the risk zones are to be avoided.
What do you think are some of the measures that the population individually can take in terms of the actions that should be carried out by the state to limit this landslides effect?
People should avoid risky zones. While planning for construction activities, excavation, why not limit it to the dry season? We think that it is safer to carry out these activities when the soil is less saturated, or maybe during the end of the rainy season, or early, because when the rainy season gets to 2-3 months, it becomes difficult for the soil to be consolidated. The population themselves, they need to take precautions. They need to avoid these risky zones. They need to obtain building permits before constructing. And state authorities too need to strengthen up security measures to keep out the population from these risk areas. And when an area is prohibited for building, they should really make sure that it is respected to the latter.
Thank you very much, Oben Ebangabate.
It's a pleasure always inviting Onak.
The time has come up to 25 minutes past 7 o'clock in Yaoundé. You're listening to CRTV News. The Minister of Finance reminds the general public that in accordance with the tax legislation in force, fiscal stamps can only be purchased from the following public accounting offices: tax collectors' offices, fiscal stamp revenues offices, paymaster general's offices, specialized paymaster's offices, divisional treasuries, subdivisional treasuries. Taxpayers are therefore urged to remain vigilant and to submit their documents in person to the above services for stamping without resorting to the assistance of third parties. The Directorate General of Taxation has made arrangements to facilitate the acquisition of fiscal stamps at the above mentioned offices. The tax department is also at the disposal of the public to authenticate any dubious stamps. While counting on the compliance of all, the Minister of Finance would like to recall that as per the regulations in force, all documents bearing fake fiscal stamps shall be systematically rejected and their holders liable to criminal prosecution. A 479 million CFA francs budget has been adapted to run activities of the Limbe Nautical Arts and Fisheries Institute for the 2024 financial year. The amount was made public at the end of the 17th board meeting that took place in Yaoundé today and presided over by the board chair of the institution, Dr. Tiger. The director of the Limbe Nautical Arts and Fisheries Institute, Dr. Itakal Insayuk, says the budget will be used to multiply fish production techniques to help them contribute their own quota to Cameroon's import substitution drive, amongst others.
Normally, we train various professionals in the different domains in fisheries and nautical science. Anything that we have to put into a budget of 2024 is to reinforce this training because the graduates are supposed to be well trained. The agreement in our management account was 479 million, validated by the board. The workshops will be well equipped. We are sourcing for more qualified teachers to add to the qualified teachers we already have. We have to extend our concrete tanks. For aquaculture, we are going to go into even the plastic tanks so that we can produce more fish. And for the captured fisheries, we are going to encourage our students to carry out projects even in the artisanal fishing sector so that they can produce more fish for Cameroonians.
Abroad, a European aid worker who was arrested 2 months ago in the Central African Republic over spying allegations has begun a hunger strike to protest the conditions of his detention. Martin Joseph Figuera, a consultant for an American non-governmental organization, was arrested in May and accused of being in communication with armed groups to plot a coup and jeopardizing national security. Following his arrest, the military was deployed to Zemio after more than 6 years of absence from the town. In sports, the budget for the upcoming school year for the National Institute of Youth and Sports, INJS, Yaoundé, as well as fees for the PhD programs have come under scrutiny today during the institution's board meeting. The deliberations were chaired by the Secretary General of the Ministry of Sports and Physical Education, who was sitting in for the board chair, Adum Garwa. CRTV News,